And I guess that will segue nicely into Fleetwood, who I am fully, once again, on board with. Like, Alex Noren here, he, you know, I know you're a fan.
Big fan of Noren.
Webb Simpson, but the numbers don't lie here, and he's coming in just full on top of my list here.
Welcome in, Lineup Logic. I'm Mike Alexander. He's Alex Remezowski. This is the Sweet Spot. Jumping in, talk some DFS golf today. Alex, how you doing today?
I'm good. Glad to be back. Feeling a little better than last week. A little more well-rested. Ready to do this.
Not on a plane for 8 straight hours.
Not on a plane all day. I paid for that. It was a rough few days, and the beauty of that was I got to sit at home and watch the golf tournament and get ready for this week so we can have a nice little comeback.
Yeah, not a bad way to spend the weekend unless your golfers are going down in flames.
Yeah. It was definitely a little bit of both.
Yeah, tough tournament this past week at the Honda. You know, course was playing really difficult. There were some complaints about the course, the greens, some of that kind of stuff. A lot of missed cuts from some legitimate names.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know about you. I actually didn't do too badly on DraftKings. The only missed cut I had was Patton Kizzire, and that carried me through in cash games. Like, it was crazy. Having one missed cut was like a guaranteed cash win.
Yeah, I mean, that is extremely impressive, first off, that you only had one missed cut. I, for one, am mainly a GPP player, so I got a little crazy last week. And honestly, going into the week, I was like, I feel pretty good about my upper tier and mid-range guys here, but I am having trouble sifting through this value. And I was like, I am literally like so unsure about any of these guys, like 7,400 and below on DraftKings. And pretty much what I was feeling came back, and like, it was just very true. And then I also missed a few cuts up top and a few cuts in the middle. And I had two or three lines with one guy out, so it ended up being like okay. I lost a little money on the week, but one missed cut through everything. That is very impressive.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of variation. I didn't make too many different lineups, which is unusual for me, and it ended up working out.
Not a bad call on such a crazy week.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, while we're on it, we could talk a little bit of contest selection. You know, you're a GPP guy, like you said. For me, I know there's a lot of guys on the Lineup Logic crew that are just getting into golf, getting their feet wet. And what what I want to suggest is you want to focus on cash, especially when you don't have that much experience at something. When I first started playing PGA, the mix I really liked was the $5 double up, a number of head to heads, maybe 5 head to heads for $1, a triple up if you can find a good one, and then some small, some small tournaments. If you can get into 100 man, 50-50s are good. And then only one or two GPPs out of that for each lineup you're building. And the more limited the entries, the better. There's usually a 3 entry limit tournament with some decent payouts for $3 or $4. Think of that like your insurance in case the lineup does go off. But really, you know, you want, if you're going to put it in 10 contests, you want 8 or 9 of those to be cash contests. How do you agree with that, Alex, or what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, definitely for a lot of the people that we're talking to on a week to week basis, I know they are kind of like just getting into PGA. And I know some people go a little heavier than others. I've noticed a lot of people are getting like pretty tense lately as to like, this has sucked lately. I'm just playing this in one contest type thing, which I don't think is a bad idea. I don't at all. And I agree with you. I think like if you want to be safe with it, go heavy in cash. Like, but I do definitely love like even, so I kind of had like a turning point where I kind of hit big, and it kind of gives you the ability to like get a little crazy with things, like enter more stuff. But before that, I totally agree with you. Like get into cash as much as you can. And then I always like to have the upside. So it's like, if it's one GPP, you're going to enter that line in, like do that. So cover yourself with the cash. But if you like a line, try to get it into a GPP, even if it's a cheap GPP, your upside is just like tenfold, 20-fold, whatever it is. Like it's much larger just in case, like you said, just in case a line goes off, you will reap the benefits. So I agree. Right. And one other point is this week, I mean, every week, but especially this week, there are so many awesome qualifiers and satellites out there. The Masters qualifiers just started showing up. So for 25 cents, $1, or $3 or more, you can get into the Masters millionaire satellites. And then you have satellites out there every single week. So if you can put 4 lineups in like 25 cents a piece into these things, you're going to start earning yourself $10, $20, $33, $40, $333, whatever dollar tickets. And that can lead to like some big things down the road. I'm a big fan of them.
Right. Yeah. You know, they're a decent way to also insure against, if your lineup goes bonkers, you're going to get something out of it at least. Yeah. But yeah, don't go overboard on giant qualifiers, like, you know, the $33 qualifiers or anything like that for guys newer to it. Right. Yeah. You know, if you randomly hit the nuts, yep. That's good. My goal is always to have cash games cover most of my GPP entries on an average week. So if I have a good week, I'm winning, you know, most of my cash entries. And then hopefully hitting some GPPs on an average week, I'm at least paying for my GPPs and coming away with something extra. And on a down week, you know, not losing too much by being in those cash games. And head to head is great in PGA. It once you start to get a feel for, you know, who's a safe golfer, and you know that's what we're here for.
I was actually going to ask you, so I'd like to hear your, with head-to-head in PGA, something I don't have very much experience with. Mm-hmm. Do you base a head-to-head lineup more cash-based or GPP-based? Are you trying to be as safe as you can or get a little crazy with it?
You know, it depends on the tournament, how safe I think you need to be. You know, when DraftKings has the pricing like they have a lot of the season so far, where there's guys that are decent priced and, you know, a lower price, and it can let you get a guy like DJ. That's kind of where I can get a little more GPP flavor by getting guys like DJ in. You know, if there's a guy that's not going to be popular, but I feel good about, I'll put him in no problem in a head-to-head lineup. But the name of the game is just have less missed cuts than your opponent.
Yeah.
And try and pick the winner, which,
yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
The missed cuts is more important. The odds of, you know, that you're the opposing player having the winner and you not aren't huge. you know, and if that happens, it doesn't matter if you didn't have a miscut or not, you're going to lose that head to head. But in a golf tournament, picking the winner is pretty difficult.
Yeah. Yep. It's never easy.
Yeah. So, all right, let's jump on into, this week. We got the World Golf Classic in Mexico. Some cash on the line here for some, pretty big names. Tell us a little bit about the tournament this week, Alex.
All right. So, like you said, it's the World Golf Championship Mexico, WGC Mexico. The course is the Club de Golf Chapultepec. It is a 7,333-yard par 71. We have 1 year of course history to go off of. Last year was the first year we saw these guys out there. Pretty much, I guess I'll just break down WGC events quick since this is the first one we're actually doing on this podcast. There are four every year. We're seeing guys from pretty much every tour in the world here. If you want to check out my article on lineuplogic.com, I break it down pretty good there. There's a limited field. We're working with a limited field of, I'm thinking it's going to be 70 to 80 people. There's qualifiers coming up. The top 10 in the FedEx Cup, top 10 in the FedEx Cup standings qualify. It's a guaranteed money event. There's no cut, which is very big and changes things for a DFS player's perspective, as well as the players out there. The winner of the tournament gets a 3-year PGA Tour exemption. So I guess one thing I'd like to talk about is that in my article, I went ahead and said, all right, this is a guaranteed money event. There's 70 people in it. We have been dealing with a lot of withdrawals and just people dropping out and destroying people's lineups, a lot of back and forth on Twitter, people getting pissed off. And my first thought was, hey, you're not going to have to worry about this today or this week, because who's going to withdraw from a guaranteed money event where you could come in last and make money? You could come in second to last and make more money. But I'd kind of like to take a step back on that point after thinking about it a little more. So I want to say it was 3 years ago, Daniel Berger hit his tee shot on the first hole and then withdrew.
Yeah, that had people pretty steamed.
Yeah. Yeah. So people can do that. And then it's like 50 or 60 or 70,000 or something just for hitting that one tee shot and withdrawing because you actually played in it. So it's possible. It's possible that could happen. However, someone making the trip to Mexico to go hit one shot, I mean, yeah, you're netting like, what, $50,000? So it can happen. I'm not barring it out. So I just kind of wanted to take that statement back a little tiny bit there. And then I would say the one other thing that you have to think about is we're in Mexico, and I know there were a couple different people that had food poisoning and things of that sort last year. And I mean, as crazy as it is, I guess you have to think about that, because you can't really play great golf when you're thinking about your bowel movements for the entire round.
You can't drink the margaritas. The ice is made with the local water.
Exactly. I you know, that's a really great point, because people are like,
that's a pro tip right there. Everybody drinks bottled water and then they get a frozen drink. Where do you think that comes from?
That's a really good point. All right. So anyways, yeah, keep that in mind. Whatever. Go stalk the guys in your lineup. Make sure they're going to be playing. There's really no way. These things you just can't see happening. They happen, whatever. It happens to the best of us. It happens the past few weeks. You just have to move on, and you have to accept that. So I'll break down the course very quickly here. We've only have 1 year of history to go off of, which limits us a bit. 7,300 yards. It's not the longest, but distance has clearly helped. Last year, Dustin Johnson won. So, and there were some other bombers up there towards the top. So distance is going to help. The other thing is it is at very, very high elevation, higher than I'm pretty sure any PGA, regular PGA Tour event is actually at. So the ball travels, and it travels far. You got people hitting like 300 plus yard irons. People who are pulling out driver are going to like literally be pushing 400 yards. So it's like crazy.
And that's interesting. The elevation from just a general fitness standpoint, like Dustin Johnson is just in like the most peak shape of any golfer besides Tiger Woods at his, you know, prime. Like, he's just super fit. And then, you know, there's some other guys that aren't.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, so there's
only a few in this field you could name.
You're walking, you know, you're walking 72 holes. So by Sunday, guys that are not tip top shape might be dragging.
Yeah. 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 You're walking all those holes. And on top of that, you're swinging the golf club like 300 times or whatever it is. And, yeah. And everything else you do, it really, I say this on a normal week that you don't realize how much these guys actually play and how it's 6 out of 7 days every single week. Mm-hmm. So definitely, like, I have been in higher altitudes myself, and you feel it. You definitely notice it.
For sure.
So the course is not that long. It's extremely tight. If you look at an overhead flyover view of the course, like, there are trees lining what seems to be the fairway. So it's almost like if you miss the fairway, you're in the trees. I'm sure it's not quite that dramatic, but it's very easy to hit in the trees. The greens are very well protected. There's like in the 40s, I think, of greenside bunkers. So 18 holes, 45 greenside bunkers. You do the math. The greens are extremely fast, or at least they were last year. There's a lot of undulation hills, upper, lower tiers to the greens. So pretty much what I have narrowed this all down to is that the course reminds me a little bit of Riviera 2 weeks ago at the Genesis, number one. That was kind of like highly wooded, but a little longer. So you saw more drivers there. You might not see quite so many drivers this week. Mm-hmm. And some of the things I really wanted to look at were strokes gained off the tee. So that kind of takes distance into consideration, even though that's not totally necessary. So I also looked at strokes gained fairway. And then on top of that, as always, strokes gained approach, strokes gained tee to green. And then I looked at scrambling, three putts avoided, and birdie or better percentage. And then short game also. So those were my top stats of this week.
Gotcha. And so we talked about this a little bit last time. We had a later cut. I think it was the Career Builder where they had the cut after the third day. And my first reaction to that was, I can get a little crazy here because I'm going to get that third day no matter what. And you told me, you know, hold on for a second because you still need to have good golf throughout. So don't overreact to it. I kind of feel the same way here now that I'm thinking about it more where, you know, just paying all the way down and cramming in some studs seems like, you know, hey, that should work because that guy's going to golf a fourth day. Well, yeah, not if he's making, you know, eight pars and six bogeys. You know, what is your feeling on that?
Yeah. So like it's definitely interesting. I think with absolutely no cut, knowing or 99% knowing that every single guy is going to play four rounds, you want guys who are at the very least going to get birdies because that's where you get your points. Mm-hmm. So it's like It's a fine line. I think you need to think about ownership more than you usually do. But that doesn't mean like choose these like crazy picks. I think really ownership is like a pretty big thing here, which sometimes sucks because it's like hard to get a real gauge on ownership and like where you should be putting your money and like how much of the chalk can you put in each line. Because I can tell you that you can have some chalk in a GPP line and you can still win if you choose the right guys. Like, and last, so the two WGC events ago was last August, which was my largest GPP win in my DFS existence. And I can go right down this lineup. I have it right in front of me and tell you my ownership percentages. There were six players. I had 24.8% owned Ricky Fowler, 23% Charlie Hoffman, 4.5% Zach Johnson, 14.8% Matt Tsuyama, a 19.5% Kyle Stanley, and a 0.6% Olsen. So it was across the board. It was like Ricky Fowler was almost 25% owned, but then you have that one guy who came in 10th, Olsen, who was less than 1% owned, and I think that's what sets you apart. So I don't think ownership is like it's really, really hard to pinpoint, I guess.
Yeah, and you know, for people who aren't familiar with PGA ownership, anything above 15% is fairly chalky. You get into the 20s and mid-20s, that's very chalky. You're usually not going to see anybody breaking into the 30s unless it was like a couple weeks ago with Dustin Johnson where, you know, everybody in the world wanted to play him. All right, let's jump into these studs, Alex. Tell me who's your favorite guy at the top here. And you know, for people at home, we're talking DraftKings pricing. And then at the end of the pricing segment, we'll talk a little bit of price discrepancy and who's cheaper on which site.
Yeah. All right. So I think that it's a very good transition here. In terms of ownership, I actually really do like this week for a non-cut week, because when you look at some of these top guys, I think between all the options if there is one guy that's gonna be high owned, whatever, it's gonna be Dustin Johnson. But I think his price this week is so high up there that maybe I don't see it being in the 30 or 40% or whatever like it was 2 weeks ago, which is cool. And like I was just saying, like, okay, took down this GPP 24.8%. That's fine. I could see Dustin Johnson being at 25% this week. So
yeah, I think it's going to be pretty spread out between the top three options of DJ, JT, and Rom.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. So I guess I'll just get right into it. Dustin Johnson, it's hard to argue with him here. I mean, he has been having like a ridiculous season. He is once again our defending champion. I feel like I literally say that every single week. And he took last week off. His past four starts have been first, ninth, second, 16th. And the 16th started with a 74 in the first round, which was not very good. And then he fouled it up 69, 64, 73. So Dustin Johnson has demonstrated that he can play on this course. I think a lot of people see Dustin Johnson and they're like, oh, he's a bomber and that's it. And this course with the altitude and you can hit it long and blah, 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 that's not all we need here. Like, you can find someone who hits the ball shorter, but like Dustin Johnson is like the entire pack. And I feel like people don't focus on the fact that, like, Dustin Johnson hits the most flush approach shots that are just like, you watch him just like stick it, and then like you don't see him missing that many putts. And like, I think he last can
absolutely
year,
putt.
Yeah, yeah, he can literally do it all. And I think last year we saw him make a lot of longer putts, but the way he's been playing lately, I'm not even so sure he'll have to do that. So I don't think he's a must play just because of his price and the other names in here. But like I said, extremely hard to ignore. Justin Thomas, I'll let you decide if you want to get into this or not. But I think everything surrounding Justin Thomas right now has me saying stay away from him. He's coming off of a win and a bunch of drama. He's like the focal point of the golf internet right now.
Yep.
And I just like, I think there's just too much. He's either going to come back with a vengeance and be like, fuck everybody, pardon my language, or he'll be like, I don't know. I feel like he's weaker than that. I feel like he won't, like, I love the guy. What he did last week made me a little angry. I thought it was stupid. But then again, like, in the moment where he was at, I can agree. I can see why he would do what he did. But coming off of that week, I'm steering clear. I guess that's all I'll really say.
That doesn't worry me a ton. What worries me probably more is that he is coming off of a win, and the DFS herd is so focused on the nearest, shiniest object. So, you know, if I had to guess, I think he and DJ are probably the most owned players, and he may edge DJ out by a hair just because he's 400 cheaper. So for cash, I'm okay with it. GPP, probably not going to go there on an ownership combination with what you just said.
Yeah. I mean, I agree that they're probably going to be the two top owned, at least at this price level. I think John Rahm will maybe be pushing that. It's really tough to say with the ownership projections, but I do in fact really, really like John Rahm here. He came in third here last year. He's like the Spanish Dustin Johnson, and Dustin Johnson won it last year. John Rahm came in third last year. John Rahm has been having this season of a lifetime, and he's got a couple weeks off. Familiar with the course. I actually love John Rahm here. Like, I will 100% be playing him. I won't have 100% exposure to him, but I do really, really like him.
Yeah, I'm all about him here too. He's a great price compared to the other guys. He's got the exact same ability, and he hasn't played in a bit, so he's not fresh in people's mind.
Yeah, and like for those like game log hunters, you're going to be looking at his past three starts were 29th, 11th, 26th, but following that was a 1-2-1. So maybe I'm hoping that will drag his ownership down a bit, but I am fully on board with him. And yes, you get some price savings there.
Yeah. And the thing you kept saying about Rahm week after week was, you know, he's having a hard time on the fourth day because he's playing so much. So now he finally took some time off.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's going to be big for when we later on here talk about guys like Alexander Noren, for instance, who's been playing a ton of golf. And it's funny because it's like, now I am like fully interested and want to play this guy, but we'll talk about that in a minute. I'll touch quickly on Jordan Spieth, Tommy Fleetwood, the other, I'll include, oh God, you know, this top range, you include Jordan Spieth, Tommy Fleetwood, Ricky Fowler, Justin Rose. And then you're looking at Rose, Fowler, Fleetwood, Spieth, Rahm, Thomas, Johnson. Those are all extremely, extremely strong options, which is why I'm pretty confident that this ownership is going to be pretty spread out between these guys. What do you think about that? Do you think when you look, that is seven guys that are like pretty much elite players, spreading from 9,700 on DK to 11,900 on DK. And I won't count any single one of them out of this tournament.
Yeah, I think Fleetwood is going to be hugely owned. He was good last week, tied for second. Spieth and Fowler, I think, have kind of rubbed people the wrong way more recently, just because they've had some missed cuts and performance issues. Hey, Alex, hold on 1 minute, man. I just got to get the dog here.
I was going to say, do you have a cat in back of you? Playing with a jingly toy. Well, all right. So, I mean, I'll go on to say, if I had to choose three guys that I really like out of this top seven area, I'm going to be talking John Rahm, Tommy Fleetwood, and Justin Rose. Those are my top three here. And if I had to rank them, I would go John Rahm, Tommy Fleetwood, Justin Rose, Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler, Justin Thomas. 1-7. And I think they're all very much in contention. I think Spieth is a great play because, like you just said, I think he could go a little lower owned. And honestly, like I feel like people think like Spieth and Fowler are not playing well right now, but it's not like they're bombing or anything. Like Jordan Spieth came in ninth last outing. No problem. I've been talking this whole time. I just ranked the top seven, if you couldn't hear. And finishing what I was saying, so Jordan Spieth really truly has not been playing that bad. He in the Genesis, like I was saying, is a highly, in my mind, it's a comp to this week. He finished in ninth. He finished strong with a 69-67. So I like Spieth. Fowler, on the other hand, I heard an interview with him. He hasn't been striking the ball how he really had been wanting to, but we saw him at the Waste Management. I think he looked great that whole week. He slowed up a little in the final round. Like, I'm not counting him out either, but I just listed off these top seven in order. That's my feeling right now. I won't fault anyone for playing any of those seven guys.
All right, good stuff. Let's break on into the low nines and eights.
All right. Who do you have your eye on? What do you, start me off here. Who do you like?
You mentioned Noren. He's a good price. I'm going to play him a little bit. He didn't do very well here last year, which is a little bit of a cause for concern, but he's at a different level this season, I think. So I'm going to have some of him. A guy I can't make my mind up on, he's going to be a little bit chalky, but he's playing well right now, is Tony Finau. You got any thoughts on Finau?
Yeah. So starting off, Noren, I mean, every week it's like me saying, I don't know, and you saying, yeah, I'm on him. And he just keeps playing so freaking well. And I agree that he is in a different – he's like in a different league than he was last year at this time. So I think he's in a great spot here. I think he sets up well for the course too. So I'm fully on board. I'd like to see ownership projections for Noren actually. Like at the Genesis at Riviera, he was super consistent and finished 16th. So I'm like fully ready to start playing him. Finau is another guy, like you said, he could be chalky. I feel like he's like when he's there, he's just always chalk. Came in second at Riviera. He continues to play well when people think he's going to play well. And at 8,500, it's a very good price for him. I personally, with some of the names that are right around him, like always, I think I might try to just block him out of my mind this week. but he's another guy that I can't form, like, really, really put up a case against him.
Gotcha. Who else you like in this tier?
Someone I'm really, really looking at is Patrick Cantlay. Patrick Cantlay, I'm like, seem to always be pretty heavy on. ever since last year, like, he's been playing great. He's another guy who finished top five at Riviera. I want to look at quickly his recent, so top five at Riviera. I wanted to see if I could point out his stats here, where he came in on the model, because there was more than just one reason I was looking at this man. You like Patrick Cantlay?
Just one quick point about Cantlay is he's got a win recently, and that's something I always like to have when picking a guy not in that top tier. You know, does he have a first place finish? Has he been able to win a tournament? Because it takes a lot to pull it out on the fourth day.
Yeah, and there's someone down a little lower I'm going to be bringing up that same point with in just a little bit. So I found what I was looking for. Patrick Cantlay, in the field over his last 36 round, he's fifth strokes gained tee to green, seventh strokes gained approach, sixth strokes gained ball striking, and 10th strokes gained off the tee. I mean, those are all top tens. Like, and those are some of the stats here that I'm putting the most emphasis on. So I really, really do like him. I think that's a fantastic price for him to be at 87. Like, I wouldn't advise you to do this, but with the people in this like 8 to low 9 price range, you could literally start your lineup with a Noren or Cantlay, and you could definitely have some variation there. Like I said, there's 7 guys above that are all highly in play. I would suggest probably choosing one of them, but Noren and Cantlay definitely on my radar. One other guy who I always talk about and I will continue to talk about is Paul Casey. He never is a total letdown, and we have 4 rounds out of him, 4 guaranteed rounds out of him here. My one reservation, I guess, would be the Genesis Open. He didn't do like amazing at. It was mainly because of his first round. He's definitely on my radar. 8,400 for Paul Casey just seems extremely cheap for me. And then following him up is a bunch of European guys. Is there anyone you like at this mid-8 range?
I'm a little bit interested in Thomas Peters this week. A lot of people were really interested in him for the Genesis, and you know, he just made the cut but didn't finish very well, 68th. Had an awful round 4. Did better at the Honda, but a 13th, nothing that's going to launch him back into the forefront of people's lineups. I think he's in a good spot here for a pretty solid price.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had his name written down here in this price range too. His strokes gained / 36 round stats are like, they're kind of all over the place. His approach shots and ball striking are really up there, like top 15, top 20. His bogeys avoided and birdies gained are both good, and I think those are all like really good things to have. And that's like high, like taking into consideration like very highly his last couple starts, which includes the Genesis, where it was like he was back in America and he had one bad round. I think I brought this up last week. He went 71, 71, 71, 78. And then last week at the Honda, he finished 13th with 69, 70, 71, 71. So it's a lot of 71s. Maybe too many 71s. but no, I think he's trending in the right direction. He's a consistent player. I think he could only hurt you so much. And I think he's got some real upside on him too. So I another guy I wouldn't fault anyone for playing. I guess going down in the price range, two more American guys I'll point out. I'll start off with my obvious pick of Webb Simpson, who I am still it's almost funny now, but the only reason it's not funny is because nobody talked about him last week and he looked fucking awesome. And I loved watching him because it was crazy. It was like, why aren't people talking about Webb Simpson here? And it was because he had one single bad tournament that wasn't that bad.
Right. And there's something to be said for if you can keep playing a guy week after week consistently, you know, if outside of the top five guys, like people are going to have bad tournaments. They're going to have a bad round here and there. They're going to miss a cut. Stay on people that you have confidence in, because the payoff is coming in most cases. It's like in baseball, you got to keep playing guys like Edwin Encarnacion, who you know, they might go 0-4, 0-4, 1-4. And if you get off them on that fourth day is the day they hit two home runs. You got to stick with them.
100%. 100%. Especially, and then in golf, like what I had on top of that was this is another course where this guy needs to keep it in play. He needs to hit the fairways and then be able to hit a green. And Webb Simpson is that guy. He doesn't smash the ball, but he's going to hit the fairway. And 9 times out of 10, he's going to hit the green. And then if he can make some putts, he's going to set himself apart from the rest of the field. And that's exactly what he did last week. He had 266s and 272s. He came in fifth. It's like he was fully in contention on Sunday. And I think we have another course where if he avoids trouble for 4 days straight, especially this no cut, like I love him again here. And I'll just very quickly mention Matt Kuchar because they are the same in my mind. He's like a young version of him. I am like a broken record, but he's 7,600. So Matt Kuchar, pretty much take what I just said and just duplicate it. I'm fully about him too.
I keep seeing Kuchar's name pop up this week and I'm like, I better have a lineup with him because I'm going to kick myself if he plays well.
Yeah. And he's never going to play like that bad. So yeah, I really don't think he's ever going to like really, really hurt you. Like anything is possible, but I'm saying Webb Simpson and Matt Kuchar are two of the safer options here in this mid-range, mid to lower range at this point, who aren't going to hurt you and probably won't be all that high owned at all. So that's my take on those two guys.
All right, getting into the sevens. There's not quite what we've seen in past weeks, but there's some names to play down here. Who are you liking?
Yeah, so there's definitely some options. So right at that same Webb Simpson range is Xander Schauffele. I thought I knew how to say it. Maybe I don't. Xander X. He came in ninth at Riviera. I'll say it every time. He had like an epic end of last season. He won the tour championship. He's the guy I was referring to earlier that. He knows how to win a tournament. Yet he's a second year PGA Tour player who doesn't have a ton of experience in events like this, these guaranteed moneymakers. But I can almost guarantee you there's no doubt in my mind that he's gonna be out there all four rounds trying his absolute hardest, and he has the game for this course. So like if you're looking for someone who you know won't give you a heart attack doing some stupid whatever or withdrawing, and also has the upside to literally win this tournament, I'm sticking with Xander here. I think he's a great option, especially for 7,800. The last few tournaments we've seen him at 83, 74, 81, 86, 85, 87, 98, 97. So this is a good price for him. I like him.
All right.
You like anyone?
Talk to me about Hao Tong Li.
All right, Hao Tong Li, this is probably my third time. If anyone read my article out there, it's probably the third time I've brought him up. He has high highs and low lows. You can literally Google his name, like read the article about him. He's won three times on the PGA Tour China. That was all in 2014. He came in third in last year's British Open. He's going to be playing in all the majors this year. He has some very big wins under his belt, and it's another guy that you want to know what he's capable of. He's capable of literally beating the best players. In January, he took down the Omega Dubai Desert Classic, and that was just over Rory McIlroy, who is Rory McIlroy. So he's not intimidated by playing against some of the world's biggest names. He, in my opinion, is in this tournament just as much as anyone else is. Guaranteed low ownership. He's only 7,400. He played at Riviera, took a week off. He finished 53rd at Riviera, going 71, 71, 69, 75. I think he's fully in play. I will 100% be using him this week. I don't know how much. But if you're looking for someone cheap, which is somewhat hard to come by this week, he is definitely an option. I remember the last time I kind of touted him, I actually didn't use him. And then I saw him, it was at Riviera, and he had a great first round and an okay second round. Actually, it might have been 71, 71, whatever it was. I remember after one or two rounds, I was like, God damn it, how did I not use him? And then he fell back a bit. He's hot and he's cold, like I said, but I think he is like definitely in play here, especially in this type of event where you want to differentiate from the crowd.
Got it. All right. Do you have any more names here? Maybe one more in the sevens?
Very quickly, I'll just point out that the two people who I put in the same kind of pool very often, Mark Leishman and Pat Perez, they both have some big wins under their belt in the past season. They're both capable of a lot, and they're both extremely cheap. And they both hit the ball far if they can keep it straight and continue to make putts, which they both do. Pat Perez has played here. He finished 38th here last year, which doesn't scare me too much because he kind of started excelling after that point. Mark Leishman was not here, but at 76 and 7,400, I think they're both highly in play. I would say if someone's going to be higher owned, it would probably be Pat Perez because of the slight price discount, at least on DraftKings. So those two are kind of the final two I like in the sevens.
And that's kind of the bottom of their price range. So a great time to get a chance to play those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is totally bottoming out on their price range.
All right. And then do you have one steep pay down if you're going to get a little crazy?
If I were to get really crazy with price, like it's hard to go under 7,000 here, I would say, I guess. The two options at 6,900 would be Jonathan Vegas and Dean Burmester. Both of them have shown some upside. Vegas has been playing like not good at all, so I am not really truly thinking about it. And then Burmester is a guy who has gotten like made some noise on the Euro Tour. He's done some good things. I think if you needed someone, if like 6,900 fell to you, Dean Burmester is definitely an option. Another thing I've heard talked about multiple times is he's from South Africa. South Africa has the exact same grass. I don't remember the name of the rough or the grass they're playing in, but it's the exact. Yeah, could you say that?
Kikuyu.
It's the Kikuyu. South Africa, Kikuyu. And where we are in Mexico this week, Kikuyu. So, hey, Burmester, I would take him over Vegas, to be honest. But they're both pay downs that are they're in play.
Yeah, I mean, unless you had a lineup that you just were so in love with and you were at 6,900 left, I wouldn't go down that range. Since you bring up South Africa, how do you feel about Charles Schwartzel? He's a guy that I'm a big fan of, but he hasn't played a lot lately. But a really nice price on him at 7,300.
Yeah, that's actually very interesting that you bring that up. That honestly caught me a little off guard here. I have not thought about him at all. Let's see where he comes in on my official rankings here of all the stats that I mentioned earlier. Charles Schwartzel. Wow, that's actually not bad there. My rank 42. 42nd. He's 5th in 3 putts avoided. 23rd strokes gained scrambling. 32nd strokes gained tee to green in the field. Hey, that's not all that bad. He played at Riviera and he kind of did. It was a bit over par every day, but I mean, if you look at his game log here, he's not blowing up. It's not like he has like the lowest floor of anyone. He's made 7 of 7 cuts, and like we've mentioned a couple times, he's playing 4 rounds today. And Charles Schwartzel has won tournaments in his past. He is he's anything but scared here. I can guarantee you that. Do you have your eye on Charles?
You know, he caught my attention. Just obviously, you know the name. He's at a good price, and if it helps you build something with somebody a little higher, he's not the worst guy.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's a very fair price for him. I mean, 7,300. He was 11-5 in January in the Euro Tour BMW SA Open. That's crazy. I don't know who was in that field. Yeah. I don't think I was playing Euro Tour come January, but that's you don't see him at this price very often, so I don't mind that.
All right, so I'm gonna jump in here, Alex, do some ownerships real quick. You got the big four guys we talked about: Fleetwood, DJ, JT, and Rom, all in the low 30s. Their ownerships are probably all in the mid 20% range. You can feel free to play any of them, I think. Finau, a little bit chalky. He's approaching 30 tags. We've been down this road with Finau before when he was chalky, and he was worth it. So I'm possibly inclined to play him. Mid-20s, you got Thomas Peters, Paul Casey, Xander Schauffele. They're going to be hovering around the 20% ownership, maybe high teens. Just take a quick look through here if there's any lower price players that are particularly chalky. Matthew Fitzpatrick. Noren's going to be maybe a tad chalky. Not a ton of chalk this week.
Do you think Fitzpatrick will be chalky this week?
You know, he's got some tags. I don't really know too much about him, but
yeah, he's a consistent player. I think a lot of people have a lot of confidence in the guy, and he is like, he's had a lot of very, very, very good finishes. And for 7,600, I mean, that was another guy that like I have my eye on, but I'm not totally sold on.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's just do a couple buy sells here real quick. First one for an upper priced guy, Phil Mickelson. Do you buy or sell?
Oh, he did very well here last year. I'm not totally sold on him right now. I think with the options, many of which we've already talked about, I think I'm going to have to go sell at 9,300. He's literally right below the studly seven of this week. And you got Sergio Garcia right below him, who we actually haven't mentioned and is very much in play. So I'm going to have to sell Phil Mickelson this week.
Yeah, for me, less interested in cash, more interested in a tournament. You like Sergio, like Sergio, though?
Yeah, I like Sergio at 9,100. I would be interested to see what kind of ownership he'll garner at that price. He didn't look that bad last week. He barely got any TV time just because he was like a little bit outside of the lead, and because Tiger was there. Thank you, Golf Channel, for showing 95% Tiger. Right. But yeah, I mean, I'm not counting Sergio out this week at all.
Gotcha. All right, let's jump down here a little bit. Buy or sell Ross Fisher.
Ross Fisher, I'll say buy just because of like what he's been doing, and in his past like seven starts, I think he's come runner up three times. Did he play here last year? Yes, he did. Yeah, he played here last year, and he came in third. So, right behind Dustin Johnson and Tommy Fleetwood, he tied with John Rahm. John Rahm, he came in third. So, I mean, I think that could definitely help his ownership.
That explains
exactly. Yeah, so he came in that. That explains why he might be chalky. And in that case, if we think he's going to be over, like, 15% owned, then I would 100% fade him at 8,200. But I'm not counting him out at this point.
All right, last guy, buy or sell, is a name I was on last week, has done pretty well on the Euro Tour, Dylan Fratelli.
These last couple guys you've mentioned are tough, but Fratelli's another one. Like, we saw him last week at the Honda, and he finished with two very, very strong rounds. It looked like he found his groove. Like, honestly, I got the vibe that he was like had the jitters at first, but like going 71-72 in his first two rounds, like, I mean it's not bad. It's not bad at all. And then he ended up finishing in 11th. You look at before that, and he's had multiple good finishes. He's another South Africa guy. I would say Fratelli over Fitzpatrick, over who did we just talk about? The other Fisher. I would take Fratelli over Fitzpatrick and Fisher.
Gotcha. All right. So I just want to talk quickly about some of the price discrepancies I've seen. I'm just going to run down the list. If you want, you know, to talk about them further, jump in on the Slack chat and we can hammer them out, but we're running a little short on time. So
yeah, I was actually going to say, I have a huge list here too. So you go through your list really quick. I'm going to X off who I have here.
All right. Got guys that I thought were low on FanDuel. I got Phil Mickelson, Bubba, Dylan Fratelli, Xander Schauffele, and Hao Tong Lee. And anybody that you think is low on FanDuel that I missed?
Low on FanDuel, Ross Fisher is 26th top price FanDuel, 17th DK. I play him on FanDuel. Thomas Peters, he was 29th on FanDuel, 16th top on DraftKings. Did you say Bubba?
Yeah, I said Bubba.
Yep. Yeah. And then Dylan Fratelli, which was hugely, like, their prices look similar. You mentioned him.
Yep.
He was 38th FanDuel.
He's probably the best play on FanDuel. Anytime the prices get close to each other on the sites, you know, one of them is high, one of them is low. Take the low one and play him for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right. And then you got DraftKings ones?
Yeah, on DraftKings, I thought Justin Rose was a little low. Alexander Noren a little low. Tony Finau, Paul Casey, Kevin Chappell, and Jason Duffner.
Yes. Yep. The other two I would add to that are Rafa Cabrera-Bello. Mm-hmm. He is 10-5 on FanDuel, 7-7 on DK. That's the 13th top on FanDuel, 26th on DraftKings. Play him on DraftKings. And then Kuchar is 10-5 on FanDuel, 7-6 on DraftKings. I would play him on DraftKings.
Right, right.
Brennan Grace also very similar to that.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so let's wrap things up with some darts. First dart I want you to give me, Alex, a guy from the Euro Tour or just lesser known that hasn't, you know, been in people's minds lately.
My number one dart here for a value would be Haotong Li. We talked about him earlier. I don't need to say much more about him. I think he's got some massive upside, and I'm not afraid to play him this week.
All right, for me, it's going to be Joost Luitenen. No idea if I pronounced that right. He's a Dutchman.
Joost.
Fun to say. So he just won the Euro Tour's Oman Open. Came in 11th at the Maybank on the Euro Tour. You know, those are both great finishes. He's putting really well, and he played here last year, was 25th. And his putting held him back a little bit last year at this course. So if his putting is, you know, if he's got it figured out right now, that could mean some good things. All right, next dart, Alex. We talked about this earlier. Give me a guy that you like sticking with and you're going to make sure you get into a lineup here this week.
Someone I like sticking with. Man, it's tough. I mean, we talked about the top seven here, and Ricky Fowler is going low-owned. He's going low-owned this week. Him and Jordan Spieth are going low-owned this week, and I like them both. Ricky Fowler missed a cut, and before that didn't have the greatest finish ever. I feel like people are starting to like count him out, and he's Ricky Fowler. He performs in these big events. He doesn't win them. He'll probably come in second, like I always say. So for a comeback guy who you're going to get some ownership leverage on and a great opportunity to get some ownership leverage, I'm going with Ricky Fowler.
So you're saying Ricky is a comeback player?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, after for Ricky, first of all, with the missed cut last week, and yeah. Yeah, he's the comeback guy for me.
All right, so then give me a guy. What I'm saying is a guy that you play week in and week out, and you just want to make sure you have him in your lineup this week again.
Oh, 100% Webb Simpson. Check that box.
If you listen to the show, you can get that one.
Yes.
All right, so for me, comeback player of the week, guy who missed the cut last time out, was Peter Uihlein. You know, he's a tad on the young side, so not unexpected that he's got some ups and downs. He's got skill on the golf course. You know, he can hit the ball far, and he's a pretty good putter. So we're back on some kind of, it's a Poana Green blend, I think. So it's going to be a tricky weekend putting. He's a guy that has some interest for me as my comeback. And then a guy that I've been playing and I just want to stay on is Paul Casey. You know, he was playing pretty good for a while there. Didn't give us the result we were looking for last time out. But I'm just going to get back and keep him in the lineup and see what we can come up with.
Amen. I like both of those. Uihlein, I think this is your time. This is your time to play him with the he's guaranteed four rounds. And I think, right. And if you notice the last WGC event he played in, he finished fifth. So, and Casey, I always like.
There we go. All right, guys, that's all the time we got today. Give us a shout on Twitter at @Roto_Wan, WAN, at Donald Remington for Alex. You can get us in the Slack chat. And then if you're listening and you aren't seeing the cheat sheet and Alex's model, that's because you got to upgrade to the $20 Patreon tier. Go ahead and do that if you want to get the golf content to its fullest extent. And you know, it's worthwhile. Get under the hood, see the cheat sheet, see the model, and that's going to get you where you need to be cashing.
Do it up. It's totally worth it. They're great stats. I will give you any stat you want.
All right. And don't forget to get in the sauce. They're up on Slack right now. So get in there. Take our money.
Yes. Sauce it up.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the golf. Alex, take care.
Make some money this week. Thank you.